Okay, good evening. We're holding on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, new sugya. Boy Rav Chananya. It's about just over halfway down the page. Right, Rav gives the word Bedir B'Sahar. So the Gemara asks, two dots there, yeah. Boy Rav Chananya. Rav Chananya asks the following shayla. Yish Tuchumin Amadu Mi'asoro. Are there Tuchumin about 10 Tfochim? Ve'im Tuchumin Amadu Mi'asoro. Or are they not tchumin above 10 tefachim? Meaning to say, we know that above 10 tefachim, when it comes to reshuyos, above 10 tefachim is, for example, is not a reshus harabim. So maybe with regard to tchumin as well, maybe it only applies within 10 tefachim with the ground, or maybe not. That's the shayla.
Is it only reshus harabim that goes?
Nope.
Well, reshus yochid goes up to rukia.
Yeah.
So what else is there?
Kamelis.
Carbonus goes up beyond 10 tefachim.
We take on the chumras of both. So the Gemara and the Shabbos, we take on the chumras of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, and Malkum Petur?
The Kohen Petur is automatic in Malkum Petur.
So when you say it's automatic, what do you mean?
Malkum Petur is Malkum Petur below 10 tefachim, Kolshkin above 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim is in Rosh Hashanah is Malkum Petur. So in but again, it's the concept. We're not trying to draw where tchumin applies. It's just the concept. The ma'aseh will make essentially enough tchumins in both applications of tchumin. In other words, if a person starts Shabbos above 10 tefachim, right? Then he doesn't have a Makom Shavisa. And then if he stays above 10 tefachim, he can travel as far as he wants. And when he gets to wherever he wants, he can then come down below 10 tefachim and have $2,000 from there. If that will become his Makom Shavisa. Right, this is spelled out in the Ritzvot. The other Nachkamin will be if a person did start with his tefachim, but he does have a Makom Shavisa. If he goes above 10 tefachim, it'll be mutter for him to travel as far as he wants. But when he gets to the other end and he comes down below 10 tefachim, then he'll be stuck within his dalad abbas. Those are the two potential nafkaminas, right? If you say yish to come in the ma'ala me'asora, none of this would apply. Those are the two nafkaminas. As I said, if you look into this one, you'll see he spells it out. So the Gemara says, Omud gavaya asora barocha barbo, if you've got a pillar which is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, lo yitiboy lof, that wouldn't be a shayl. You wouldn't have that as a shayla. Meaning to say, the way Rashi learns it at least is, that let's say this pillar is at the end of its 2,000 amos, part of it's within, part of it's outside of the 2,000 amos, so if he climbs up to the top of it, would he be allowed to walk the whole width of this omud? That's not a shayla. Why not? The aras alichtahi, because that, since it's 4 tefachim wide, it's perfectly walkable on, and therefore, there's no reason in the world why that shouldn't be subject to tchumin. In other words, here we're seeing that it's a little bit more than just, like I said, above 10 is a different reshus. We see this in Rashi very clearly as well. It's also to do with derech hiluch. Right? Above 10 is not derech hiluch. So if you've got something which is derech hiluch, because it's perfectly comfortable to walk on, it's just raised ground, then we're not going to say that tchumin don't apply there. It's just like a hill. You're not going to say if you go up a hill now you're not subject to this of tchumin. Of course not. So here as well, the same thing. That's poshut. The aras amichtohi because it's perfectly solid ground. Kiti boyno, when do you have the shayla? But always go away outside if you've got a pillar which is 10 tefachim high, ve'ina rafa babo, but it's not 4 tefachim wide. So now it's not aras amichtohi. If you need it to be solid walking ground, this doesn't fit the bill, in which case maybe it's exempt from the Issa of Tefumin, maybe yes, maybe not. That will be Shaila number one.
Can I also ask something here? Surely if something which is 4 by 4, 10 tefachim by 4 by 4, so it's something choshuv, that's aras mikhto, so something less than 4 by 4, should it kosher can't be aras mikhto, should be bottled to the ground.
No, you can't walk on it. If you walk on it, you're likely to fall off.
It's not called bottom to the ground then.
again, you can call it bottom to the ground, but it's not ground you can walk on. So that's why I say it's more than just the way I explained it to start with about the Rishus HaRabim. It's more than that. That could be something to do with Rishus HaRabim as well, but it's to do with Derech Hillel or not. That's one Nafka Minna. Inami, or another Nafka Minna would be, Zekozo Bekvito. If a person went, literally by jumping. Now the way Rashi learns it is not by jumping as we know it. Rather, it means using a Shem HaShem. Using a Shem HaShem, and a person sort of suddenly flies through the air, and well above 10, outside his 2,000 amas, would that be a problem or not? The Yadis points out, by the way, just in case anyone's getting any ideas, this is not something, Kanare is not something which was recommended. You don't find the Vim doing it, right? Even, for example, he says Eliyahu had to travel to Ruchanetza, he spent 40 days travelling, he didn't use the Shem HaShem. Yirmiyahu could have saved himself from the pit when he was thrown into the pit, he didn't use the Shem HaShem. So obviously it's not something that Bederek Kalal, the person, is supposed to do. Yeah?
Then why mention it?
Why mention it? Because obviously we want to know if the person did it. We're not talking about whether the person is allowed to do it. If the person did it, would he be able on the Yisrael to call it? Right, that's number one. And number two is, clearly there are instances when it is allowed. Because we know Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri using the Shem HaShem. So, Kanireh, when purely the Kavod Shamayim, right, then maybe a person can use the Shem HaShem. When it's seen as being partially as a, call it, personal convenience, even if you're doing, and he always going for, you know, he wasn't going to stand for a...
But if the name was given, the it's also Shem HaShem, no? They use something that, they don't say what they use, but say Natan Bo'inav.
Again, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, again, I'll talk over, but Chazal say. As I said, it's you look at it and you say, maybe that was Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, he was facing up to this person. No, at the end of the day, he was doing it completely for Kavod Shamayim, maybe that's Peshat, completely for Kavod Shem Shamayim, and to save another yid, maybe there's a limit in that, as we go towards Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim stopping to die, right? We know the chashivas of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu looks at it as something which is pertinent to Bein Adam L'Mokam. So, Kenzai, that's the, as I said, if that is Peshat, it's a limit. Because even though, as I said, I'm repeating this, but again, even though Eliyahu was not going for himself, it doesn't matter, but you can do it by walking. So going quicker is an element of self-convenience, hence he wouldn't do it. Even though I'm going to perform Shlichus of Hashem or something like that, no. In order to be able to use Shem Hashem, I'm suggesting, this is purely a suggestion, right? It's got to be Kol Kuloi for Hashem. But included in that is when I'm saving somebody else, because that is Kavod Shamai. The Gemara says in Chulin, gives you on this last week, so that's why I came across this Gemara, Zvok and Daf Samach Tes on this. The Gemara says over there, we learn out the concept of dialogue min adin. Dialogue min adin means that you can't make a Kal V'Chomer to learn more than the source. Yeah? The example I always give is, I say, if I can jump and hit the roof, Kolshkin, all of you, you're taller than me, Kolshkin, you should be able to do it. That's a good Kal V'Chomer. But I can't say, if I can jump and hit the roof, then Kolshkin, you will be able to jump and hit the chandelier and the shul. Maybe it's true. Maybe the extra height, mathematically, would work. But that's not the Kal V'Chomer. That's not the Kolshkin. It doesn't work. So too, so the Gemara says, where do we learn that from? We learn it from? Miriam? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't from Miriam when she's got Torah. Kemar upon Olah, Hashem says, sorry. If a girl were Babiya Yarok Yarok Bafonaha, Halosi Kodein Shilat Yomim, if basically a girl, her father was upset with her, so she'd be cast out for 7 days.
Yeah.
So, now the Losh is, Kal V'Chomer when it's the Shekhinah that the person's spoken against. So Tosfos says, hold on a second. Where did Miriam speak against the Shekhinah? She spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, but Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to
Shekhinah. Says Tosfos, because in the Yetzirah Ta'odah, there are three partners.
Mm-hmm.
And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he Kiyohol contributes 10 different things. The Gemara says in Eidot, all to do with basically the Neshama's Chelek, power of speech, power of sight, etc., etc. So in the human being, in Kol Shekei Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't just some human being, right? You can't even say about Moshe Rabbeinu, the predominant feature was the Rabbeinu Shalom's Chelek. So Memeda, she was speaking, that's her Madriga, she was speaking against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person has to realize, therefore, when it comes to Bein Odom LaChaveiro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is Bein Odom LaChaveiro is Bein Odom LaMoker.
Shemesh Tashtafim.
Exactly, yep. Okay, so, yep. So, that being the case, why am I saying this? So again, maybe that's a suggestion when a person could use the Shem HaShem. If we're correct, then obviously it's a nice reminder of how important Bein Odom LaMokom is. Bein Odom LaChaveiro, she said in there, they always use what I always said at the end of last week's Sedra. Megadif, yeah?
Yeah.
The guy comes out and blasphemes against Hashem. Look at what goes on there, right? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do. They go ask Hashem. Hashem says stone. Right? Suddenly, pause. And we've got a number of pesukim in there which go on about damages and arguments. And then come to the end of that, and then press play again. We're back to the parish of the Megadif. They take him out. They stone him. Like, how did that? There's pesukim come in the middle. I always said the pshat is like this. It says in Beginas Rus. It says that Bayaz came back, right? And he said to the workers, right? They greet Sadr in the name of Hashem. So in Bayaz bought me this. So the Malbim says over there, Bayaz, we know he was Ifson Zer Bayaz, he was one of the Shoftim, he just became one of the Shoftim. He was living in a time when by Yibim Yishvet HaShoftim, there was complete corruption in society. There's a Marvin, because people believe Hashem is when it comes to Bein Odom LaMokom, that's everything to do with Hashem. When it comes to man's interpersonal relationships with other people, yeah, there's nothing to do with Hashem. Right? That's what people believe. So Bayaz wanted to show people that's not correct. Therefore, even when you greet somebody, greet with Hashem's name. That's why Rabbi Levinson Brochus, and the Brochus, if you remember this, but yeah, right there in the Brochus. He instituted that. Why? To teach people that even just greeting somebody, saying a good morning to somebody, a good Shabbos to somebody, that has everything to do with Hashem. That's what's going on at the end of Parashat Emma. You see this guy, he comes out and he blasphemes, he curses the name of Hashem. Shock, horror, right? Taka it. Chutzpah, others put on him. Hashem says, before you take him out to stone him, just pause a second. I want you to understand something. Where did this all actually begin? It started over a machlokes about where you could pitch a tent. It was a monetary thing. Don't think that, like, okay, that's not, that bothers me as much as the end result when he cursed the name of Hashem. I have as much to do with that as when he was actually Magadi. Yes, again, we're not going to stone somebody just for
And is he blaming anybody for the whole business that they wouldn't let him pitch his tent there?
He wasn't happy with the Pesach, man's against it. So he came out with
that's a regard. I'm talking about the Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, in a sense, that they were incorrect in doing.
It's the message behind it. No, again, but there's instances where a person has to stand up for what's right. Sure.
Yes,
no, but Shabbin was absolutely correct.
That seems to be the case.
Correct. But it's just the message reason. There where. Fine. So the Gemara writer. Fine. So those are the two Nafka minutes. So the Gemara says, Lishna, I'm going to be able to give us Lishna. For another Tzvina, what about on the ship? Same idea, ship above 10, or ship which is jumping as well, we've seen that as well, according to one that's Ma'alechas. My, what's the din? So, let's just see Rashi before we go on. Rashi says, the Ish Techumin, Issel Techumin. Does the Issel Techumin apply to Ma'alechas Me'asorah, above 10 Tefachim? You can imagine also as it goes on to explain. But on the way outside, if you've got a pillar which is 10 Tefachim high, Berochat, Berochat, Barabon, 4 Tefachim wide, Benechat, Rosha, Echad, and one end of that 4 Tefachim goes in. The Sechat Tchum into the Tchum. Loti Boy Rav, that wouldn't be a Shaila. The Issa Tchum in the Igboy, the Abad of the Issa Tchum applies on it. The Layada al Roshay, don't go up onto the top of it, should the Sechat Tchum, which is within the Tchum, be Yetzir Risha Akha and go out through the other end. So, Chodzi the Hiluch, because it is Roy for walking on the Hiluch Ma'al Yom, and it's perfectly normal way of walking. Ve'in rochov dalet. So we said rather the shayla is when it's not four tefach and wide. Ve'lo nichot tashmi shosle, and therefore it's not particularly geshmak to make use of it, to walk on it, stand on it. That's one possibility. Another nafkamina would be bikvitza. B'shem, using the name of Hashem, mi avihinuch ele, is that considered to be walking or not? Yeah? Again, interestingly enough, I think it's pointed out, right? The it's much more if you were to use the shame Hashem and stay within 10 tefachim of the ground, that zikr would be considered to be subject to the isur tchum, only because you're going above 10. Yeah? So stump tefino, lemala me'asar me'aleches, the normal ship goes above 10 tefachim, ve'inof nocha, and it doesn't come to rest, on the ground in other words, v'domi dekvitzu ba'avir, and therefore it's like it's jumping in the air, v'afilo hochi, and even so, it is also. That would be the other nafkamina. I mean, the lafidu hochi also is already somewhat going into what we already know about ships. Yeah. Fine. So the Gemara says on this. Mine. What's the day? Oh, Rav Hoshaya. So Rav Hoshaya said, Toshima, come and listen. My son, there was a story, Shebo'u mi Palandrasin. They came from Palandrasin, which is in the Mishnah. They fligo spinos in Ayom, and their ship went out in the middle of the ocean. And the question was, could they walk the whole ship or not? Rabbi Gamaliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, no problem. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua rotsu lahafme. They wanted to be machmir on themselves, because they were worried maybe it had stopped, and they were unaware of it, and therefore they stayed within their tamadams. Now, Iyomaz Bishlom, it's fine if you say Yish Tuchumin, that above 10 that is Shaykh Tuchumin. Mishum Hochi Rotsu, that's why they wanted to be Machmir. Right? Why? Because maybe it stopped. They're not on top. Anyway, Iyomaz, but if you were to say in Tuchumin, there is no Tuchumin above 10 Tuchumin, am I Rotsu? Why did they want to be Machmir? As we keep saying, and I know I keep repeating it, but I can't stress it enough, you can't be Machmir on something that doesn't exist. You can't just decide yourself, I want to be machmir, I want to create a new application of tchumah. If it doesn't exist above 10, it's not shaykh tchumah. Right? So what do you mean they wanted to? Elamai. Sounds like that's going to apply
above 10. Even the anchor is into the ground?
Even if what?
The anchor is going into the ground. Doesn't matter how many meters.
If it's above 10, and tchumah don't apply.
No, they are above 10. They are many meters above 10. But I said when they put the anchor down,
that's
is it connecting to the ground? Is it part of it?
Doesn't make a difference. I said they are, if between the seabed and them, at least the base of the ship, maybe the base of the ship, maybe where they are, different layers. But the Maisa, it's if it's above 10, if it doesn't apply above 10, then it's not shy for what's going to happen. So, so surely that shows that it applies above 10. So that the Gemara says. Because Omar Rav, it's like Rav is going to say on the next Raya, b'mahaleches b'rekek. We're talking about when it's going b'rekek. Rekek is when it's going, they say, on like on the sides of the river. So it's where, because the bank, the shape of it, it's much gravel, but in other words, it's much shallower. It's much shallower, and therefore, if it's a small boat, that is shy, that it can go within 10 of the ground. And that's where they were cheshish. An unusual situation, but it's possible. Hakanami, so to agree with Ma'alechis Bereket, that's what we're talking about here as well. There is discussion, different Girsois here, is it Peshat that we are talking about when it went Bereket, or is this part of the Gezeil? They wanted to be Machmir in case it would go Bereket, and they would be oblivious to it. Maybe it'll go Bereket, and it will stop, and they won't realize.
Is that the time they came from Rome back to Eretz Yisrael?
That's why they want to be Machmir in case it would go Bereket.
When they come into the port or something like that.
Is part of the Gezeira. They're self-imposed kazim.
They're self-imposed.
They're worried.
They're self-imposed kazim.
They bring here. I mean, it's got those holes. You'll see that they bring from the Kedukhi Sofer. We said that is the correct girsa. It's Shemot Tahalich Bo. Because they're Shemot Tahalich Bo Rekek. Because he says, yeah, they're in the middle of the high seas here. Where's the Rekek?
Yeah, but the
you can't make a Rekinta that was going Rekek. What, in the middle of the ocean?
That's what I'm asking.
Elamai, Peshat is, they were being Mahmet in case it stops. In case it stops, in Rekek, not here, and I can't miss it, it's not going to be over here. But once we start walking the ship now, we'll come to do it even later on when it comes into the port, and at that point, who knows what could happen.
But Rekek usually is in that journey.
Correct, yeah.
There had to be some sort of possibility
with the journey. Rekek is not
in the river. But the gift that we have is that we're talking at a stage where it's actually going to Rekek.
Rekek is not by the river, because it's not by the sea. It's not Rekek by the sea. Because usually the ships are very low down.
Again, estuary when it's coming in.
Okay. Because usually the ships are more than 10 tefachim underneath of the water.
Yeah. The most the point out from the, you can see the Rabbi Nechamanu towards the end of the page here. You can see he has the grace that we have. We're talking about when it's going, Barakat. Okay, so you've got the two different shots in there. Fine. That's that, right. Next one. Toshima. Tamachas one time, lo nichnasu le nomel ad she chashecha v'chulu. They only got into the port once Shabbos had already come in. And therefore the question was, could they get off the boat or not? Yes, not. We had a couple of them and said, yeah, I saw through my telescope, we're ready within 2,000 amas, we're alright. He omad mishtama yishtechumin. It's fine if you say that yishtechumin amalami outside of the Shabbos, I can understand the Shaila. Because if they were more than 2,000 amas away from the port, then they got a problem. Because they've got a mokum shvisa when Shabbos comes in, they've got outside their 2,000 amas, it's problematic. And if you say there isn't tuchume above 10, so kilo hayinu b'secha tuchum, even when they were not within the tuchum, my habi, so what? What's the problem? What's the problem? There's no tuchum in the Malami Asara, so until they come to the port, they're not going to be subject to tuchum anyway. When they got off the ship, fine, they got 2,000 amas from there. So Omar Rava, so Rava said, "B'mahaleches berekek." This time you have to say "b'mahaleches berekek" means they're mamash, they're already coming in towards the port. They were taking a route where, for whatever reason, the water was very shallow there. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi.
Because of that, they were less than 10.
Correct, because of that, they were less than 10. So it's Rashi Amai Rotsu. Why do they want to be mafim on themselves? But there's no Islah, even if it did stop. If you say the Malam Yasorah, there's no Tchumen. So we said, but Rekek. Pochus Yasorah is less than 10 Tfokim deep. Rekek Belaz is Gravel. In French, the word is Gravel. It's like a.
Gravel.
Yeah, something like Gravel. It's got some stones and whatever you call it in the water.
Gravel.
Yep. Fine. Next riot. Toshima. Hanishev Shemaito. The Isamron Betzapro B'Shamsa. So the Gemara, there were these seven teachings which were said Shabbos morning, Kamei to Rav Chista, in front of Rav Chista, B'Surah, in Surah. Ubehadei Panya, and Shabbos should this time, let's say. Right, Ubehadei Panya, the Shabbos, Kamei to Rav, they were said in front of Rava, B'Pum B'Disa, in, something I should say, Rava, B'Pum B'Disa, in B'Pum B'Disa. Now that's quite a distance. How did anyone get from
Surah to Pumbedisa?
Was
it from people? They've been in the Shia the previous day.
It's the same person who's saying them. It's the seven, the Gemara and Chulin talks about the seven types of trefa there. You get to it, whatever it is. Okay. So Manomin, who said them in these two places? Love Eliyahu Amrinu, was it not Eliyahu who said them? Ah, but if it's Eliyahu, we understand how he did it. Because Eliyahu was able to travel, you know, from long distances. But hold on a second. But what about Tchumen? We understand the logistics now, how he got from one place to the other. But what about the Isur Tchumen? Alma, you see, in Tchumen, there's no Isur Tchumen above 10, and Eliyahu obviously went above 10. So to that, the Gemara said, no. It was Yosef the demon who said them. He wasn't so from, as we said. He didn't keep Issa Tchumen. And therefore, he was the one who was able to get from one place to the other. But We're not saying it was the Heter. Yeah?
But he did say it was the great Torah. That's to say that's a bit.
Correct, correct, yeah. So Rashi says, Yosef Shiddo Delimintar Shabbos. He didn't keep Shabbos. Right?
What does mintar mean? Keep.
Well, he's a shaykh.
What?
What does mintar mean?
Keep. Shomer. Not amis to be shomer.
Yeah. Zorikata. Shomer.
The city. Shomer.
So what's the extra? Nun, therefore.
The nun's not extra. Not amis to God. Nun first rish. And the Memur, that's just part of the congregation. So,
it's like he's a Shindalad or he's a person who doesn't keep Shabbos.
No, Shindalad.
I saw another girl, so another parish that he wasn't a Shindalad, he was a person who didn't keep Shabbos.
And how did he get there?
On a horse,
or I don't know.
Kloshek Shabbos is, he was a.
It's interesting because the Lomans of Shabbos is a shaykh for shade. They didn't keep Shabbos.
Sorry, say again?
I said the Russians of Lomans of Shabbos, they didn't keep Shabbos. Is that
really? Well, that's a definition of it. Maybe it's a definition of it.
Is that? I mean, is it shaykh for a shade to keep Shabbos?
Why not?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what a shade is. It's sort of shade. How do you define it?
The Gemara in Chagiga. That's a sign. Naftos, that's how I remember it. Naftos. Because they've got three features they share with us, and three features they don't. Well, so they've got three things they're like us, and in three ways they are different to human beings. Shows you there's this zichru thing. Again, it's zichru. It's a guy in America. He's got this thing on. Got a whole talking about Balabhatta, etc., who by now have memorized over three points from every blood, over 2,000 blood they've done.
I think I have something about it, where they sort of build a story around the blood.
Correct.
I
saw it as well as that, and I still remember it, Totes. I just remember Totes. I got this picture of it, Totes. Yeah, I remember it. So, can't say I remember many things there, but he says that this. He says that it says six things are said about Shadim. Three they're like malachim and three they're like human beings. They've got wings, like malachim. They can fly from one end of the world to the other, like malachim. That's relevant to us here. And they know what's going to be in the future, like malachim. That the Gemara speaks about what that means exactly, but fine. And on the other hand, because the Gemara asks them, they don't. What do you mean? They know what's going to be, what's going to be. Okay. Sorry, no, they know what they mean. They know. So it says they hear me after
the king, you know.
It says they hear me after the apartment. Fine. So then it says three like Kimile Odom, urgent of a shirt to Kimile Odom, they eat and drink like us. They have children like us, Paul and Robin, right? Procreation. And Umesim Kimile Odom, they die as well like human beings. Okay? So there you go.
And therefore, and they're Jewish? They're Minta Shabbata?
I don't know. Mashma that Eliyahu is subject to the Issa of Tchumen. We're going to see it from the continuation of the Gemara as well. It's very clear that Eliyahu was subject to the Issa of Tchumen.
Yeah, but we go above 10, so it's no problem.
He's like a malach.
He's
correct.
There, he's always.
Correct, we are. The Gemara is saying, if it's Eliyahu, then we can understand only if you say there's no Issa of above 10.
Yeah.
But if you say the Issa of Tchumen applies above 10, and if you're using a Shem Hashem, whatever it is, how did Eliyahu get from 150 to 100? Oh, so the Gemara says, could be there is an Issa of Tchumen above 10, and it wasn't him, it was somebody else. Fine. But what you see is one thing you see, and you're going to see it from all the Gemara's coming out with Eliyahu and Mashiach, that they are subject to the Issa of Tchumen. Yeah? So they ask the question, they say, but what about Seder night?
Yeah, you said it, so was it?
And the other one is, what about a press on Shabbos?
to.
The clue is that he's coming here, he's teaching Shev Shemaitza, he's teaching Torah. Right? So I've mentioned in the past, the Shev HaTal says, when we say Teku, Tishbi, Yataris, Kushim, Kevoyos, he says he disagrees with that. Shev HaTal, by the way, is Rishabsi Orovitz, was not absolutely sure whether he's possibly a cousin, or I think a second cousin maybe of the Shlomo Kodesh, definitely a relation. Or whether it's a slightly different generation, but the Kitzur is definitely one of the relations of the Shlach Kodesh. And he writes in a paper called Shev HaTal, he says he disagrees with that. I haven't seen anyone else who says it, but he says, no, it can't be Tishbi Yataris, because we know, I assume based on the mission at the end of Idias, he's basing himself, that Eliyahu is not going to Paschal Halacha. So you're not going to be able to go along to him. I say, I don't Paschal Halacha. Presumably because Shatters, Terele Vashamaini, Terele Suramidas, and the old one is going to come and give you the answer like that. So he wants to say that it's not Tishbi Yatarit, he wants to say it's Tishbi Yatarit. It's not perfect, but it's when Tishbi comes, Tishbi
it will be
Yatarit, they will be answered. In other words, the light of clarity will be such that you'll say, like, there was no question. Yeah? That's what he wants to say. Others say differently, this is what we want to say over here. I think maybe on this they say it, if I'm not mistaken, but you have to understand, Eliyahu comes back in two forms. There's Eliyahu Malach HaBrit. He comes back as a Malach, because we know the story of Malach, that he went up alive in a chariot of fire, he comes back as a Malach. But other times he comes back in the form of a human being.
Havavi, anything, you know, to teach.
Now they say the Pshat is, even though in Lonu Esik Ben Historian, but they say when he went up, he left behind his body here, like the skin, the body, the malbush was left here, and when he comes back, it's there, he like, as it were,
using it.
You know, it's like $11,000 and far more, then it's a chutzpah, Superman, something, right? Changes his clothes, this is it, right? But it's not Superman. Peshat is, he comes back as a human being. And when he comes back as a human being, he's a choshev, tamachochem, he's Eliyahu, right? We're not talking about some person, but he's a human being. And therefore, on that, Abadi, he can debate in halacha. He can answer your question. Tishbi Yataris Kushim Sevoyos, when he comes to answer. And that's various Gemara's, which you find where he is debating, like over here. He's teaching Gemara Baba Metziah, and you can see over there, he was subject to Tosfos asked over there, how could he be in the Beis HaKavaris? But surely if Eliyahu was Pinchas, Pinchas was a Kohen, so what's he doing in the Beis HaKavaris? Right? So that's where he shies these things.
And there, when
he's a human being, then he is subject to Tuchumim, to the Isser of Tumah, etc. And he will answer the questions and he will teach. However, when you're talking about coming to a bris, it's Malach HaBris. And coming around Tate Night as well, Lel Shemorim, it's a Malach that comes. And Oy Vazoy, perhaps that's why you don't see the wine actually go down, right?
Not yet.
When you gave the mushroom, I think it was from Chaim, and you said,
it wasn't a mushroom. The story, I don't know, a couple of people who weren't here, I'll just tell it again. I'm adding this in. I'm not saying that Reb Chaim said that that's the chiluk between the two. It would be a hezbo in it. The story goes like this, that Reb Eliyahu Mann, who was very close to at least alone with Reb Chaim, so he phoned here when he heard that, you know, he'd been under Reb Chaim, and literally, Reb Chaim had told him this, and he phoned somebody. I don't know if it was something Golden Screen. Maybe Shuli Dana. I don't remember. But and he phoned him one night, all excited. He said, "Listen to this. Listen to this story." He was sitting there with Reb Chaim learning, and Reb Chaim's son came in, and Reb Chaim said he was a bit upset with his son because he said, "Why didn't you come to the bris today? It had some family bris." And he said, so "The son said, Papa, I was there." So Reb Chaim says, "Where were you standing?" So when he told him where he was standing, Reb Chaim says, okay, now I understand. Why? Because Reb Chaim was the Sanduk, so he was sitting here. Next to him was the chair for Eliyahu Hanavi, and the son was on the other side of the chair. So Reb Chaim says, so Eliyahu was in the way, that's why I couldn't see you. So Reb Eliyahu Mann, he looks at Reb Chaim and he says, you mean you could see it? You could see Eliyahu? He says, yeah. He says, but I don't understand. I've asked you in the past, who in this story has been Zecha to Gidei Eliyahu? And you told me the only person that you think has been zeichet to get early on in the Staret, Rav Shlomo, you think he's been zeichet to get early on. So Chaim looks at him and he says, that's not getting early on. When early on comes to a bris, he says, you can't see it? He couldn't understand. Rav Chaim says, well, surely, yeah, you can't see it. So Rav Chaim was posher that you'd be able to see him. Again, I don't know what that means, but right? That was the story. So I think he asked him then, he finished off, he said to Rav Chaim, he said, well, if you do actually see him, can you answer a question? And that is, I think the question was, Rav Chaim used to, very often people like, Rav Chaim used to sit, there'd be one bris after another, he was the son. Does Eliyahu get up between one bris and the next and come back? Or does he just stay there? Rav Chaim said he stays there. Adka. You can go verify it by Rabbi Yonan. But that was the...
Rav Chaim
Kanievsky.
Kanievsky, that means... So Eliyahu, every bris he was at, even when he was a young man.
You're talking about somebody who managed to make a siyum in his dream, right? He learned the whole of the Sefer Brachos and made the siyum, and when he woke up, he wouldn't speak because he wasn't sure. He thought he may have made a very proud offer, but hadn't drunk the wine yet. Right? This was regular. I mean, I don't know about that part of it, but regularly he was learning, his wife says, from when he was really a young man.
I'm sure he was learning a lot, but I mean...
No, I'm talking about in his sleep.
Oh.
Right? So these, we don't ask questions. Again, some of these might have probably have been, and I also believe, a lot of them get exaggerated. Yeah. As they say, one thing is for sure, they don't say these might without you or me. Right?
Yeah.
So when they're looking for, you look for the right candidate to answer. I agree. Sometimes it's like you can't know.
So
this is what I'm saying is, what did he mean? That's not good, Eliyahu. I'm touching up the mic. Maybe he's saying, see Eliyahu. I mean, you would have thought it's the opposite actually, but he says to see him when he comes as a malach habris. That apparently isn't such a chiddush. Giving Eliyahu is when he comes back as a human being. It's not pshat because you can't see him. Well, on the contrary, you'd say that's more easier to see. It's most people are not certain it's such a thing. In other words, to Rav Chaim, the pshat is, it's not pshat, it's harder to see him when he comes as a human being. Well, unfortunately, that's what you're about to ask. But to see him when he's a human being, you're always far easier. I mean, I don't know what malach looks like, right? If you do see one, then let me know, But one thing is, all he's saying is, Din Eliyahu is not something that happens that often. He comes that way, right?
Then you say you hear someone in every generation? Because given the question that's asked him, who had it, so there's implication in every generation somebody.
I don't know. It can't times gone by there were more people who were zecher to it, and there were definitely those who were there is a story I said as well of. I thought I'd go on and ruin it. So let me check it out. Remind me tomorrow, let's see if I remember. With the Gong, because the Gong Taka turned down the option of a mummy. Interesting. The Vilna Gong was offered a market to be taught Torah, by a market.
Oh, so to be right?
Well, that means, right, somebody, yeah. Right? And he turned it down because he said, Torah is to be, he wants to be coded through our meetings.
But what do you mean by a mugget in that situation? Somebody who has...
Somebody from Shemayim, I don't know. Seriously, about the mugget, you heard of the Sefer Mugget Meisharim?
No, I don't know.
There's a Sefer called Mugget Meisharim, where he writes down all the questions he asked, and all the tefachot that he received from the mugget.
And you ask questions, you get the answer, and... That's it. I mean, without that...
Is it in Magid Meisharim? It may be in Magid. Just trying to remember. The story about the... Is it Magid Meisharim? This whole thing of learning on a Shavuos night, the incredible heights you can reach, I think it's in Magid Meisharim. There's a whole story about it. The Shlomo brings it. I don't know if it's also Magid. But kids, there were definitely ones of that, and... Again, there's no question about it. There were Gedolim who had these the Chasam Sofer for sure. They know had,
yeah.
Right? And Arizal for sure. Time's gone by. Had given the old thing that was taught over by you wouldn't allow people into the room at certain times. And say when somebody sneaked in,
that's a regular thing. Chasam Sofer. Yeah. That would be something.
And the mother can be in two places at once.
I don't know.
Well, Eliyahu Malach HaBris, I'm sure there must be Obviously, it was simultaneously a different
not concept. Not to mention, it was Pesach. It became very busy in Pesach night then.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't know.
Toshima.
Levushim and things like that. I heard somebody talking about it. Levushim and things like that. The soul, it could be a billion of them because it could be
different parts. Could it? Okay. Toshima. Next try. Toshima. Harini Nozir B'yom Sheben Dovid Bo. The person says, I will be a Nozir on the day that Ben Dovid, Moshiach, basically, on the day that he comes. And that means, if he comes in the afternoon, he was already a Nozir from the beginning of that day. So every day, potentially, he could be a nozer.
Who's saying this?
It's a brisa. Who said it? A person said this.
Well, he said, I will be a nozer.
I will be a nozer. I'm accepting the zeros upon myself on the day that Dovid HaMelech, Moshiach Ben Dovid comes.
Is that up here?
Now that means any day, today, I couldn't drink wine today, in case maybe Dovid maybe Moshiach will come now. Right? That's what we're going to say. The only times you're allowed to drink wine, such a person to be allowed to drink wine, is on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because on Shabbos and Yom Tov, for sure he's not coming. Take a look at Rashi. Because certainly Moshiach is not coming now. Now why that is, that's what we have to figure out. The also lishtos yayin konim etachot, but it's forbidden to drink wine all the days of the week. Right? Because any day of the week, maybe he's going to come.
You started talking about not drinking wine until the point when he comes. So you could drink wine until he comes. Why do we assume that he can't drink wine at all that day?
Otherwise, this then wouldn't make any sense. So you're talking about a case where a person, that was what the person said.
Yeah, but he'll become a nozzle as soon as he sees.
If that's what he said, then fine. That's not what he said. He said, I will become a nozir on the day that Ben Dovid comes. He doesn't think when he comes. On the day. So you'll never know. Short of being a nobby, you won't know. So therefore, any weekday he could come. So you've got mitoch hachashash, a person can't drink the wine. Now, iomad bishlomo, that's fine if you say yish tuchumin, that there is tuchumin above 10 tefachim. Hainu, that's the reason that the Shabbos is with Yom Tovim Mutter. That's why on Shabbos and Yom Tov it's Mutter to drink wine, because Moshiach can't come. Because of the problem of Tehomim. Right, he'll be sitting at the gates of Gan Eden or whatever it is, right? So he's got quite a way to come. So he's not going to be able to come on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And at Yomad, but if you say in Tehomim that there isn't Tehomim above 10 Tefachim, so Shabbos is the Yom Tovim, am I mutter? Why is it mutter to drink wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Why can't he come? To Chumen? So we'll go above 10 Tefachim. So to that the Gemara answers, Shani Hosam, it's different over there. It's not because Moshiach can't come on Shabbos, it's simply because he won't come on Shabbos. Why? Meaning to say on any given Shabbos, I know he's not coming today. The Omar Kuro, because the Pasuk says, Hinei Anuchi Shaleach Lochem, behold I am sending to you, Eis Eliyahu HaNavi, we're going back, basically I'm sending Eliyahu HaNavi, before the great big day, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come to be Mabaser. He's going to come to herald and tell you, prepare yourselves, Moshiach is coming tomorrow. Now, we're going etc. Beholo Ota Eliyahu Me'atma. And it's just a mitzvah. I know, on any given Shabbos, did Eliyahu come on Friday? No. Because at the moment we're assuming, I'd hear about it. So he didn't come on Friday. So if he didn't come on Friday, I know that on Shabbos, Moshiach's not coming. Right? And he always didn't come on Friday, Moshiach's not coming on Shabbos. So ask the Gemara, Yehochi, if so, Bechad, on a weekday as well, Kol Yom HaBeYomo, each and every day, Nami Dishtari, we should also allow you to drink wine. So Hodo also Eliyahu Me'asmal. Today I should be able to drink wine because I didn't hear anything about Eliyahu coming yesterday. So if Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, I know Moshiach's not coming today. What's it got to do with Shabbos? Hello, rather the Pshat is, Omrinon, we say, who says he didn't come yesterday? Maybe Eliyahu did come yesterday, And the Beit HaNagoda also, he came to the Beit HaNagoda, right? The Mishkan Sagozis, which point out is a raya, you know, the whole debate about Bach, that whole debate about they wanted to create the Sanhedrin Agoda, the Sanhedrin Beit Yosef in Tzfat.
Yes,
they wanted to recreate.
Yes,
and the whole Machlokes is about whether you can do it or not. Right. Rambam, and based on the Rambam, etc., so I say from here, it's mashma that you can. Because otherwise, where's he going? Who's the Beit HaNagoda? Who's the Beit HaNagoda? Take over Rashi. Actually, Rashi doesn't say anything here. But they bring that it was, who did he bring it from? He brings it from somebody. He's going to go to the Mishkan Sargozes. Right?
She was the last place. That's where we go. Before she go back to Jerusalem. Asara Mukamot.
Well,
he will go to the last place with the what?
Maharat Chias brings this. Who does he bring it from? About the Ritual. The Ritual says he'll go to the Beit HaNagoda in the Mishkan Sargozes. Okay. We don't have a Beit HaNagoda there. Elohai. Sounds like. Sounds like it's a ride. We're allowed to set up a Beit HaNagoda.
Yeah.
That would be rather controversial, but.
They want to set up a Sanhedrin instead of the Stonish. Talk about it.
They had enough Gedolim for it.
Yeah.
And that was the there was a lot of backlash there about whether you're allowed to do it.
Did they actually do it? Did they get the message to
No.
But they gave the smicha to a lot of people.
You have to be able to bring back the smicha,
yeah.
So when is this?
For the
Tambra,
not
Tambra, Tambra, Tambra,
Tambra, Tambra,
Tambra,
Tambra,
Tambra,
I think it's called the Marana, it's when they get Makkas.
Let's see with that.
They wanted to get Makkas there because they, in order they shouldn't get chorus for that, I think.
I believe that's written. Moshiach's not coming, why can't I drink wine today? Terry says, maybe he did, maybe Eliyahu did come yesterday. But he didn't come to London, he went to the Beit HaNagoda. And we just haven't heard about it. Now, as I mentioned on Shabbos, we'll continue with this tomorrow, but I did mention on Shabbos, that in case Mr. Israel wasn't there, but I asked your question for you. Which is? No?
It's the point, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he went to the Beit HaNagoda? You wouldn't hear about it here?
No question.
Oh, there you go.
However, we're not talking about Tzad Mashiach this time. If, as you say, they can set one up.
Well,
as you say, setting up one.
No. You're going in the time of Mashiach.
I've just come, yeah, of course, yeah.
No.
Okay. Right. Well, actually, yeah, okay. No.